Hebrews chapter 11, as we'll be looking again back in that great faith chapter that we've been studying. We had veterans of the faith last week. This week will be the father of faith. If I said, who is the father of faith, what would your answer be? Abraham. Is it not amazing? The synonymous that goes, hey, he faith and Abraham go together, don't they? And so we're going to look at his life today, and we'll be looking in Hebrews chapter 11. We'll actually be starting in verse 8, and as I usually do, I challenge you. I hope you have your sheets that you, here, Miss Sandy, here's yours. I meant to hand that to you in Sunday school. Look, I'm giving Sandy her sheet. So you need your sheet, right? And that's just your study guide to go along to write down notes about study to help you follow along and remember what we've preached about today. And so if you don't have those, they're at the back. I know Rick would bring them to you if you need one, wouldn't you, Rick? Anybody need one, hold your hand up. Look, we got one over here. Do I hear another? Hey, we're bidding it off. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But as I usually do, we challenge as he's getting the sheets. I hope you have your Word of God with you. I don't have any problem if you having it on the phone. If you're an electronic person and you pull your Bible up on the phone, that's fine with me. iPad. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, in the pew in front of you is a pew Bible. We have those so you can open it up. Why is it so important that I challenge you to take your Word of God? Because here's what I want you to, it's your responsibility that whoever is behind this pulpit right here is preaching you over here. Megan needs one too, Rick. Don't leave Megan out. It's your responsibility that who's ever standing behind this pulpit is preaching you, thus says the Word of God. Can I get an amen out of that, okay? Because you don't need opinions. You don't need great stories. You need, what does the Lord say unto me this morning in Hebrews chapter 11? And so take your Word of God and stand to your feet and reverence the reading of it. It'll be Hebrews chapter 11. We'll look at 8 verses, 8 through 16. And the Word of God says this: by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born many, as the stars in the sky, in multitude innumerable as the sand which is in the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come, they would have had the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. We pray, dear God, that you'll be with us today as we preach your word. Hide me behind the cross. May your word go forth for your glory, in Christ's name, and all God's people said. You may be seated. You know, as we've been studying this great faith chapter, we've learned, especially last week, there's only really two ways to live. That we talked about last week, the path of man that Cain took, or the path of God that leads to righteousness, that leads to heaven. Listen, there's only two ways that we can see things, either by sight. We live by sight. You say, what are you talking about? We see it, we understand it, so we believe it because we see it, or by faith. That is, listen, that we believe in this less common way of believing, that we believe on the promises of God that we ultimately have not seen, but we believe. And so Abraham, we see, is the father of that faith, that faithful walk today. And so I want you to know his name is mentioned over 70 times in the New Testament, mostly about faith. James chapter 2, I think it's verse 23. He's called the friend of God, Abraham. The friend of God. Can just think about that. Can God say that about you this morning? The friend of God.
Are you the friend of God? And yeah, Abraham, that's, he was the friend of God. So we see that. And so what in 1900 B.C., an inhabitant of Ur of the Chaldeans in Mesopotamia, on the which would be on the river of the Euphrates, and which today is modern day Iraq. Here, this man lived. He would become this example, and that place was a place of moon worshipers. Archaeologists have dug up ruins and said they had human sacrifice that was going on there. And so we see that Abraham lived in a dark pagan culture. And yet God called him out of that. Abraham lived in that culture. He was a part of it, and yet God coming that called him out. And I want us to see in these passages four features of faith that will show us a pattern that we can live by. First is the pilgrimage of faith, verse 8. Listen to what it says. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. One thing that we can say about Abraham, he did not have plans to go to Canaan, okay? He did not have plans to go to the promised land. He was right at home at Ur, and he was there at Haran. He was not planning on going anywhere. God called him out. God chose him. You know what the scripture says? This is the thing that'll really blow your mind, cook your noodle, so to speak. He didn't know where he was going. Now that would mess some of you up. Come on. We're planners. And we get ready to go on a trip. We plan it all out, even down to where we're going to stop and eat on the way. Some of us, where all these things, where we're going to get gas stops, what we're going to do, how long we're going to stay, how much money we're going to spend, all these things. Come on, that's how we operate when we're called to go somewhere or where we're planning on going somewhere. Abraham didn't have a clue where he was going. That'll blow your mind, won't it? He's calling this moon worship, this pagan guy, out from this paganism, calling him into a relationship with the Almighty God. And you know what he did? He left. He followed. We see his faith here. What a story. He steps out. He's called. He obeys. He steps out. Listen, that should be our word this week. Step out. What's God calling you to do? Just step out. Just have faith and believe in him and he can do it. How many people believe God can do it today? Step out. Just step out and follow him. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. If you're one of those people that are wrestling with salvation, not knowing if you're really saved, or do I have this relationship? Do I really believe in those things? Step out. Listen to the Holy Spirit today. Follow him. I promise you, you'll never regret it. Never regret it. He picked up, you know what he did? Listen to what he left. He left everything he knew. His family, his friends, his business, everything. Now listen, think about that. He called him to leave everything that he knew to follow him. Now you want to talk about faith. Why are we calling him the father of faith? He told him to leave and he did. You know what God said? He didn't even tell him where he's going. I'll show you. Abraham just said, you know what? I'll follow. And he stepped out on faith. Faith costs. Listen. And it's hard. That's not an easy thing to do, to leave everything that you've ever known. It costs something to step out. Faith obeys. Well, Dave, how could we apply this to our life today? When a person comes to know Jesus Christ, God demands of him a pilgrimage from his old pattern, his old living style, the ways that he used to live. He calls us out just like Abraham, and in faith, we are to separate ourselves from the paganism and the unbelief of the world, and we are to go towards that new life, towards that new city, towards that promised land that God's called us to. Salvation brings separation from the world. If it's not separated you from the world, I don't call that salvation. We can profess, but do we possess? It makes a difference. It sends us on a pilgrimage. This can be one of the greatest obstacles to people coming to faith. You say, what are you talking about? Well, when we don't understand, how am I going to, I got friends, I got family, I got all these things, and to do this, I like, and we just like our sin, let's be honest. And we're saying, I have to give this up, or I have to give that up. God didn't say give anything up. He just said follow me. He'll take care of the rest of it. He just follow him.
Do not conform to the image of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed any longer to this world. What's it getting you, by the way? And how's it going? Just turn on your news and you'll see how our world's going without Christ. Why would we choose that over the things of God? Why would we choose that to live without hope in a world that's getting darker by the minute? It's because man has chose darkness. That's what the scripture tells us in Romans. He's chose darkness because he doesn't want to be brought into the light, because with the light exposes us for who we are and the sin that we have. And we need a Savior. Aren't you glad that we got one right here? He's here today, by the way. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's calling you today, and he's saying, just come unto me. Just lay it down. Oh, I can't see it, touch it, smell it, but believe it, because the Word of God's saying it, not because some man's up here that's a little excited this morning, by the way. I got my cup full, all right? I'm just going to spill out a little bit. Is that all right with you today? I hope so, because it doesn't matter. I can't help it. God. It's just saying to you, if you're looking for salvation, if you're living in a hopeless world, if you're really trying to find something, that grass is always greener, you're never satisfied, you're always trying to find the next thing that'll make you happy, you'll never find it. Only thing that'll bring fulfillment is a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to give up your sin, turn to Him, and say, here I am, step out, step out. Faith changes our desires and our love. I used to love the things of the world. They never brought satisfaction, though. Faith changes our desires and our love. That's our pilgrimage, the pilgrimage of faith. Look at the patience of faith, verse 9 and 10. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The second pattern of faith seems to be at odds with the first. You see what I mean? As a pilgrim, Abram was to give up everything, his homeland, his friends, his business, his religion, everything, and he wasted no time. He stepped right out on faith. But faith also has to have this time of waiting and being patient on God. He, by faith, he dwelt in the land of the promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac, Jacob, and the heirs of him of the same promise. Guess what? No permanent dwelling in the promised land. Say, you mean he called him out of his home and everything, and he lived in a tent? He lived like nomads, travelers and nomads. That's the promise. He never got one square foot of Canaan except the cave at the end of the field in Machpelah, where he buried Sarah from the sons of Heth. He purchased it from the sons of Heth. The only thing that he owned in Canaan, he did not own one square foot except that cave to bury. And yet he stepped out and had the patience to wait. It says right here he lived as a foreigner or an alien in the promised land, as a transient in the land. He had to be patient. He lived and died in his tent. That was our great father of faith. He was different from the Canaanites. He was monotheistic. He acted different. He looked different. Faith demands that different. As a believer, listen, we are not anti-cultural, but we are counter-cultural. We're, a camper never has a home. Come on, pilgrims passing through. Why? Our destination and our home is outside of the borders of time and space that we call here, that we live in. Our home is in heaven because of what Christ has done with an almighty God forever and ever in eternity, because of what Jesus has done for us. Abraham waited patiently for the reality, listen, of this promise that God had given him. He waited for a long time for the son of promise just to be born. Think about that. That son, he waited his whole life for the son.
this is usually where our struggle is. You know why? We live in a microwave society. What do you mean? We just want it quick. You want a meal? Put it in the microwave and nuke it. Just give you a few minutes and you're ready to eat. That's the kind of society that we live in. Patience is not a virtue in this society. In fact, the quicker, the better. That's why they call it fast food. I tell you what, they never went to Wendy's over in Ashe County, have they? Dear Lord. Listen, we want that. We want this. We want it. You know what we say? Promises, promises. Oh, we've heard it. He's coming. That's what the pagans do. They make fun of us. Oh, yeah, Jesus is coming. You're going to live in heaven. How much logic? How smart can you be? They think you're dumb, by the way. They think you're dumb to believe what the Scripture, what the Word of God says. Oh, it's irrelevant. It's outdated. That's why we're sitting here 2018 listening to some redneck preach it this morning. It's out of date. It's irrelevant. It's the words of God. It's the only hope that we have. You want truth in a world that says truth is relative? There is truth. It's called the Word of God. Be a student of it. Learn His promises. You can rest on it. Said this week, if you can't feel His presence, rest on His promise. You can count on it. You can count on it. So we see here this. The secret of Abraham's patience was his hope in the ultimate fulfillment of the promise. His ultimate promised land was not on this earth. It was heaven. Same place. Same pilgrim that we are. Same journey that we're taking. It was his. He was looking for. How do I know that? For he waited for the city which foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This isn't Canaan. This is with the presence of God. I've said this many times, I'll say it again. I said it in Sunday school. Heaven is being with Christ. That is our reward. The presence of Almighty God. Listen, that's heaven. I hope we're not caught up about streets of gold, pearly gates, all those things that are in the New Jerusalem. All those things that we say we can't wait. Listen, I can't wait to see Jesus. I can't wait to be delivered from myself and sin. I can't wait to spend eternity in heaven, delivered from fallenness. That's heaven. That's heaven. We're surrounded by it. We're saturated by it. Fallenness. We don't even know what it's going to be like one day. It'll be great. The key is to life is this. The key to walking by faith. His object and desire was to live with God. You're looking forth to a city. Walking in faith, knowing that you're going to get there one day because of what Jesus has done. The faith. The pilgrimage of faith. The patience of faith. But look at the power of faith. 11 and 12. I better get me some water. I'm going to lose my voice. Right. The power of faith. By faith, listen to this. Amazing verses. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Faith is powerful. What do you mean? It sees the invisible and accomplishes the impossible. Faith can do that. True faith is always active. Always active. Can God do the impossible? You better believe it. You're looking at it this morning. If He can save me, He can save anybody in this room. He can do the impossible. He can touch that loved one that's sick. He can reach out there and get that child that's living out in the world and in sin. He can touch any need that's in this room today because He's the God of the impossible. True faith's always active. Think about this. Faith was active in the birth of Isaac. How do we know that? Well, from a human standpoint, can anybody say amen? It's impossible. Sarah was 90 years old. Now, ladies, I want you to think of that, those that are close to 90. There's a reason why young people have kids. Can anybody say amen? But God kept saying, you're going to have this child. You're going to have this child. You know what he did? They believed, even though biologically it was an impossibility. You say, wait a minute. You mean God even supersedes the biological? Yes, he can. He made us everything in existence, everything that we are, everybody we are, everything that we are, and everything that we have is his. And by the way, Abraham was 99 years old. Now think about that couple. And yet, past the age, yet conceived and bore Isaac. Listen to that. It doesn't matter. Biologically impossible means nothing to God. Listen, and the next part, and worn out and old means nothing. What does it say right here? As good as dead. That's pretty bad, ain't it, when the scripture says they were good as dead. Well, here they are. Well, they're good as dead. And yet God had a plan to use this older couple that all you can do is scratch your head and say, who can take the credit? Only God. Don't you want to see God do something like that in your lifetime that you can't figure it out biologically? You can't figure it out any other way but only the power of God that can rest on people and a community and a nation and a world. You want to see your world turned around? You let God show up. You got to want it, though. You know, he'll just give us what we want. We don't care. We'll just sit on our blessed assurance and don't do anything. Don't even pray. Don't even ask. We'll just say, oh, how bad our world is. How much do we pray for our world? How much do we ask and pray and fast and ask God to pour out his power upon our communities, upon our churches, upon our children? How much? Faith is active, always active. As good as dead. Abraham and Sarah would have many children. The whole people of Israel would come from these two, 90 and 99 years old. They would have, please note, the faith has a reason. It's not this leap into a dark. It's based upon God. You know why? I believe that. They weighed out the impossibility of the biologically, the impossibility of their bodies, but they heard the promise of God, and they believed the promise of God over everything else. It wasn't just leap of faith. It was believing in the promises of God. Do you believe in his promises this morning? You will live differently then. 99-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman believed that their descendants would fill the world. Guess what? And they did. Still are. Is God able to meet any of our needs? It's simply, here's the deal. The reason our needs are not met many times is simply we do not entrust them to him and believe he can do it. Just entrust it to him, and guess what? Let him answer it the way he wants to. We're not God. We don't control it. Let him answer. He answers every prayer by the way of his child. Sometimes it's not the way that we expect it to be, but he's God, and we're not. Praise God. The power of faith. But listen, I even made up a word for this last one because I had to keep it alliterated. The positiveness of faith. You look it up, positiveness is not a word. But that's all right. We can do that. Verses 13 through 16, look what it says. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Listen to me. It would be 500 years after Jacob's death before the children of Israel would possess Canaan. Let's put that in perspective. We'll say 500 years. Let me think, that would be 1518. 500, 2018 minus 500 is 1518. It's 500 years after Jacob's death before they would possess that land. But God kept his promise. God is not, he is not tied to time and space. But he is tied to his promises. If he says it, you can count on it. It might not be in your time frame, but you can count on that promise. These all died. Listen, these all died in faith, not having received the promise. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob didn't receive it, but they believed it. They believed it. They never inherited the promised land, but they inherited something much better. Look, they were strangers and pilgrims. They were just passing through. They had their eye on the prize, and it wasn't here in dirt, okay? It was in heaven with God one day, and they were walking towards that journey. Are you walking on that pilgrimage, by the way? Is that your view today? Are you focused on the things around you, the temporal, that'll catch you up? I said this morning in Sunday school, life will throw you a curveball. Can anybody say amen? And it'll try, the devil will try his best to get your focus on what's the situations and the things you're going through and get your focus off what your destination is, and that's heaven, to be with Christ forever. And you know what we'll do? We'll get so caught up in the temporal that we forget about the eternal. Their eye was not on an earthly prize, but on a heavenly one. But now they desired a better, that is, a heavenly home, is what the scripture said. They were refugees on the earth, but heaven bound. Come on. Yeah, they lived in tents, but guess what? They're with Christ today in the presence of Holy God. You said, how do you say that? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's another promise you can hold on to. The most positive thing about our faith is not what we can see or hold or measure, but the promise that one day we will be forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. That'll get you through, my friend. I don't care what you're facing this morning. The hope of eternity with Christ will get you through anything. This little old earth that says, James says, just a vapor, just a breath, just a tick, teaches the number of our days, oh Lord. It will not last but just a second, but eternity is forever. So why do we get so caught up in this little vapor that we call life? God has called us to live in this life as if we were heaven bound, as if we were as good as in heaven now, because the promises of God says if we receive Jesus Christ, if we put our faith and hope in him, if we believe he came to this earth as God's Son, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, that if we return to him, that he died on that cross, and because of that cross, he paid the payment for our sin. He was buried, but he rose again on the third day. And he says, if you put your trust, the scripture says it's not a man. If we put our trust in that, turn to him, turn from our sin, we become a child of God. Eternal. From that moment on, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within me. And from then on, I'm a child of God. And I'm headed for heaven. I don't brag on that. Sure nothing I did. I'm glad you didn't know, Dave, before Christ. Because he wouldn't care about a one of you, or where you was headed, or what your destination was, or what you did, because it was all about me and what I wanted. And that's how sinful man is. It's all about him. But when Christ got a hold of my heart, you need to come up here and get a little bit of this. When he got a hold of my heart, he changed my desires. He changed my love. And I can say I love you this morning. And this week that we call Thanksgiving, I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. And I see the potential in this room to do what? To change the world for Christ's sake. But it's got to start with you. It doesn't do you any good if you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ. Christians whose faith do not extend to heaven will have their sight things set upon the things of this world. And we don't understand why we're not happier here.
Nothing in this life compares to the absolute assurance of the future glory. Understand that we're citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:19, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. I was born April 14th, 1962. Don't be figuring it up. I became a citizen of the United States of America because I was born in America under the flag of the United States of America. February 28th, 1990. Ooh, I came under the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ and I became a citizen of heaven. Citizenship this morning. I'm an American, but I am a citizen of heaven because of what Jesus Christ has done. Hold on to that if you want to be a happy camper in this old world, okay? It's just transient. We're just passing through. A happy camper. Colossians 3:1 says, if then you were raised with Christ above, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Don't have your focus driven here. Don't drive down stakes. Keep your tent pegs moving because you're headed home. Listen, this is an act. Whew. Hold on just a minute. It's the good it's running out everywhere, okay? An act of the will. Embrace the difference. It's an act of the will. You have to determine and set your heart on the things above and not on this earth. Look at the difference. What does it say? How does it? Look at the results of this. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. John 14:1, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come back to receive you unto myself. That's a promise. Hold on to that, my friend. He's coming. The naysayers can point their fingers and make fun of us all they want, but the promise of God stands forever. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Can God say this morning, he's proud to be your God? Can he? What does your world look like? What does it look like? Does it match up more with the things of the world, or does it line up with the Word of God? In fact, that's the litmus test. That is the indicator on the path that you are on, my friend. And you can try to scramble it around and do hermeneutical jumping jacks and say, God told me to do this and God told me to do that. If it doesn't line up with that, God did not tell you. Do you hear this morning? You line up with this. And you live in the power of his might. Does that mean we'll be perfect? Oh, look at me. Ain't no way. Ask Miss Sandy. She'll tell you. Far from it. But I sure want to be. I sure want to be. I want to live for him and learn from him and grow in my grace and knowledge of him. Is that your desire? Can God say he's proud of you? Linda, come and play. We'll close with some applications. Number one, how are you living by faith? Everybody said amen a while ago. They said amen about faith, but how are you living by it? How are you living by it? Is it manifested in your life? Are you living the ways of the world? Do you worry and get anxious about everything? Just like the world does, or does, when you understand the scripture says, be anxious for nothing but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Are you living by faith? Does your belief cause you to live differently? Does it? Are you any different than your friends that are lost, going to hell around you? And you just want to fit in, so you don't ever say anything about Jesus. You don't ever act different. You're just the same. That's not, your belief is not causing you to live differently. You have a mind knowledge, but you're missing the truth. Because when Christ comes in, he says that he's a new creature in Christ. Whoever received Christ, he's a new creation. Number three is your focus here or above. Let's stand to our feet. I tell you what, God's here this morning. Now you can just walk on out. If you want to, that's your choice, the act of the will. Are you saved? Do you have a relationship with God? Well, I sure hope so. You don't have to have a hope so. You can know so today. You just come and say, you know what? I need this Jesus this crazy preacher's preaching about today. I need this Jesus because I don't have him. I don't have the assurance of salvation. I don't have the assurance of a heavenly home one day. Bow your heads before the Lord. Is that you? This is your time. You come and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He's calling. He's coming by. And you can keep rejecting him like you always did. You can say, just let me get out of here so my heart will keep beating. But I'm going to tell you, my heart's about to beat out of my chest. Listen, if it is, you better listen to the Holy Spirit of God. What about the rest of you? How's your faith? You need to do business? It's a great time of Thanksgiving. Are you a thankful person? Have you been thankful? You complaining? You worried about something? Lay it down this morning. What's God saying to you? Acting, step out. Just step out. Act in faith. Act in faith. People are coming. What about you? What about you? Step out. Is God telling you to step out? Step out. Be a person of faith. Faith is active. Well, you got your head bowed before the Lord. Let me ask you this, my friend. God required your life right now. There's no guarantee, by the way, that you'll ever make it home. Would you stand before God in heaven and he say, come on in because you've received my son? Or would he say, depart from me, I never know you? Bottom line, can you say, I know without a doubt that I have received Christ? Listen to what the scripture says. It says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the scripture says you will be saved. Here's what you do. You just say, Lord, this morning I know that I'm lost. I'm asking Jesus Christ to come into my heart right now. Lord Jesus, save me. The scripture says all that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But I promise you this, you're not going to be ashamed of it. Scripture says, all that's ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of them, is what the Father says. You'll let somebody know. It might not be walking an aisle. It's not what gets you right. It's receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And he's here this morning. Don't miss him. Looky here. I love you. Linger in his presence. If you need to do business with God, it doesn't stop at the end of the service. You need to see me, I'm here. Don't forget tonight, 5 o'clock, Thanksgiving meal. If you're visiting with us, you come on out. You don't have to bring a thing. You just come on out and be blessed today, okay? This bunch can eat. It can feed. I can eat. They can feed you. They cook. And I'm telling you, you will be blessed by the meal. For sure. One of my favorite services because it's just all about Thanksgiving. And we're all big family of God just getting around eating our meal and giving thanks to the Lord. That's what makes it so special. Donnie closes in prayer.